Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you this morning, and I'm excited for today's service. I'm excited to see these folks up here. If you're not sure why they're up here, you'll figure it out pretty soon.
Last week, we left to go to a place called Rancho Santa Marta, which is an orphanage special needs school in San Vicente, Mexico, on the Baja Peninsula there. We were working there for a week, and the people that are up here are the team that went and did the construction, and they sewed curtains, and they worked with the kids, and it was a great week. I know if you were here the prior Sunday, you got a name of somebody to pray for, and I thank you for your prayer support. After the service, we're going to have the team standing there in the narthex with hopefully their name tags on. Some of you have them. You can see if you can find the person that you prayed for, and that would be good to put a face, I think, to the name that you received. I think next year we'll try to get a photo of everybody who's going ahead of time. But thank you for your prayer support. So traditionally, the third year we've done this, we have a Sunday when we recap what happened. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. You're going to hear from the team who went to Mexico, their experiences and how they saw God at work there as we served him. And it's always so rewarding to do something like this. You always receive more than you give. My daughter said to me this morning, you know, Mom, I think in the kingdom of God, when you're following God, there are no coincidences. And I don't think it was a coincidence that anybody on this team came. I think they were all God ordained to be with us. I was a little concerned, to be perfectly honest, at the beginning because we had 47 people going and I didn't know all of them, but the team just gelled. And it was, I think we kept saying, this is the best trip we've ever had in terms of coordination, in terms of how the flow went, and just the team spirit and the wonderful way that people work together. So we have a great hour ahead to praise God for what he did. Let's continue to worship God by hearing from Sarah Steerwalt, who organized the whole thing for us and Doug Gibbs. What we did in Rancho Santa Marta. Yes.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Thank you for all your prayers and support. This last week, I had the amazing opportunity to go serve at Rancho Santa Marta with a wonderful team of people. Again, I don't think it was any coincidence that any of us went. We definitely, everyone used their gifts and talents and skills that week, and we pulled through. Just for your knowledge, Rancho Santa Marta is the working school, orphanage, and ranch. So it is a kind of safe haven for these kids. Many of them have special needs or have come from trauma. They've experienced trauma in their lives in some way. And a lot of these kids, especially the ones that attend the school who have special needs, there's no place for them, really, in the Mexican school system. There's no special programs for kids who have anything from dyslexia all the way to, like, autism. So if they were put in the Mexican public school system, they'd probably fall through the cracks because they just don't have the facilities and the teachers available to help these kids. So a lot of them come to Rancho Santa Marta. Actually, Mexico will send children to Rancho Santa Marta because they have facilities and they have teachers and therapists and psychologists and people who work with these kids to give them skills so that when they graduate, they are able to go into the real world and be functional, which is pretty amazing. There's 150 students at the school, all the way from kindergarten to ninth grade. So it's a very wide range. Most of the classes are anywhere between 8 to 15 kids. A lot of the kids live either on the ranch or in the town of San Vicente, but some of them live all the way in, like, Ensenada, which is about an hour and a half away. So they come to Rancho Santa Marta because it is such a good school, and because their needs are met. It is also a orphanage, so they have currently 42 children at their orphanage. The children live in four homes, divided by gender and age and things like that. So each home has about 8 to 11 kids or so, and each home is managed and run by either one woman or a couple. The male houses have a couple so that there's a male in there as a role model for the kids. So these parents, the house moms and the house parents, are some of the most patient, most phenomenal people I have ever met. Most of them work with these kids all day. They're with them 24/7. Then they go teach when they go to school. So they're teachers and they're house moms, which is amazing. And the love and patience that they show to these kids was just phenomenal. The kids at the orphanage, most of them have either a learning disability or they've experienced some type of trauma in their lives, where they don't have parents, but sometimes they don't have parents for awful reasons. And they've been through things that no kids should ever have to go through. Or they're the siblings of children there. So all of them there have just been through so much. And it's also a working ranch. So they have pigs and chickens and cows and sheep and all these other fun animals. They also have an orchard. So you'll get to hear it a little bit later about how we worked in the orchard. But that's how they get their food. They actually sell the food from the orchard to make money in town. So that's kind of a way that they're able to bring in some profit. And the children at the orphanage help out on the ranch. They help, you know, feed the cows and pick all the stuff from the orphanage. So it's a cool way that they're learning things about how a ranch works, which is kind of fun. So that's kind of what Rancho Santa Marta is. Rancho Santa Marta started about 30 years ago. And it was just kind of a dream of this amazing couple, Bill and Kay Lawrence, who started the ranch. And they just saw this piece of property for sale and had a dream, rallied up some money with some churches, partnered with some people, and bought the land and just started building. And that was it. Their budget is completely a faith budget. They don't get any money from Mexico. They get money from, like, churches and people who partnered with them. But they're able to do so much on so little. It's just phenomenal. And their story of how they just bought this land and started building because they saw a dream, they saw a need, and they just did it, and I think is a phenomenal inspiration to all of us because, again, their budget is just faith budget. They just trust that the money will come in and they'll be able to provide for these kids and that God has a plan for them. Even they've been through a lot of hard times, but being able to pull through, their faith is pretty inspiring, I think, to all of us. So what I did on the ranch, or at Rancho Santa Marta, I got the amazing opportunity to work with the children. That's a shock to all of you, I'm sure. So I went into every single classroom. There's 12 classrooms, I think. I went into every single classroom and did a lesson and got to interact with the kids. And then I went to every home, all four of the homes, did a lesson and a little activity and just kind of fellowship with them and built relationships with them and just told them that God loves them so much, more than they can even imagine. And that he has a plan for their lives and that just an encouraging message of faith. I got to bring students with me. So a lot of our students got to go and interact with students there and kind of just get to interact and meet and build relationships in that way. So it was quite an amazing experience to go and see their school and their kids. And a lot of them, because we've done this the last 2 years, they came in and they actually knew me. They were like, hola, Sara. So it's kind of cool that we're building that kind of relationship with them. So that's what I did all day. And when I do the children's message, you guys will hear one of the lessons that I gave the kids. But I won't have to translate it into Spanish. So that'll be new for me. So that's kind of a little bit about the ranch. And now Doug Gipps, I believe, is coming up to tell you about the construction work that we did on the ranch.
So in previous years, we had done a few small projects and one large project. But this year, because we were so many, God gave us the opportunity to perform a multitude of big, small, and medium-sized projects. Everyone kept very, very busy the entire week. Monday was a little bit slow because it took a little while to get the jobs parceled out to everybody, finding all the right tools, and then adjusting the plans to fit the reality of the situation. Tuesday was a pretty good day, although we took a long lunch with the kids and had to end a little bit early because it started to look like rain. But then, however, on Wednesday morning, God blessed the farmers and gave us a new challenge by providing rain. We lost most of the morning because of the rain, and then we had to end that day a little bit early for the pinata party with the kids. So we got pretty far behind schedule on all the outdoor projects on Wednesday. We weren't able to do any rocks on Wednesday, and we did very little concrete work. So it seemed as though we had an impossible task ahead of us on Thursday to complete all of the projects by the end of the day. However, as often is the case, God stepped in, provided us the strength, the will, and the weather to proceed to the end, and at the end of the day, we completed everything that we set out to complete. It was truly a miracle. So I'm going to go through a list of all the different things that we did during the week. So Art Bashford was in charge of the orchard team, and what they did was they laid out the irrigation system to water the trees for the summer, and they pruned about a half a dozen peach trees. Kendra was in charge of a sewing machine repair team, and her and her team repaired 9 sewing machines for the orphanage and gave lessons on sewing machine maintenance and repair. Matt Hall was in charge of the rock team, and that was a real fun exercise. They were chipping rocks off the side of a mountain. They had another team that was in the riverbed digging rocks out of the ground. They would load the rocks onto a flatbed truck and then unloaded them into these deep ditches for the new septic system drain field. There were about 20 truckloads of rocks. About 15 tons of rocks got moved off that mountain. We went through 1 truck tire, 2 truck batteries, 1 scorpion sting, and a handful of bloody cuts and bruises. Now, food, which is most important of all, was led by Sandy Madeline. She fed all 47 of us. She fed all 47 of us 3 meals per day for 5 days, including a surprise dinner on Saturday night because we got to Santa Marta so early we didn't stop in town for McDonald's. So every meal had a prep crew and a cleanup crew. Everyone helped out on one of the crews. The breakfast prep crew started between 6:30 and 7 a.m., and then the last cleanup crew for dinner didn't finish till 9 p.m. We even had one meal where the house moms came and prepared us for lunch, a meal of beans, rice, and chicken and potato burritos where we got to eat with the house moms and their kids. All the food that was left over, we left for the house moms. Another project was my project, which was building corrals. Our team dug 38 holes at least 18 inches deep through rock and compacted dirt. We used picks, jackhammers, power shovels, breaking bars, shovels, and an awful lot of muscle. We cemented 37 posts into the ground. Unfortunately, the design that we had didn't take into account that the posts and the planks had thickness. They were just points on the drawing. So we ended up having to move about at least a half a dozen of the different posts after we had poured the concrete. And we dug 1 extra hole because of the changes in the plans. But for that project, we ended up moving 12 loads of concrete, almost 8,000 pounds, up a hill from a cement mixer. Another project we did was working on the septic tank. We were sealing the septic tank. I think Greg led that one. That involved having teams of people climb about 20 feet down into this giant underground cement structure. Then using paintbrushes and rollers, we applied sealant on all of the walls. The next project was concrete work on the front porch and the septic system. Greg led that. We made 19 loads of concrete, about 12,000 pounds for the front porch of the duplex, and we did 22 loads, which was about 14,000 pounds of concrete for the top of the septic system. So we had crews shoveling sand into buckets, rocks into buckets, cutting cement bags, and then we had crews moving the concrete in wheelbarrows front to the front porch, to the corral, and to the septic system. The total concrete that we made for the week was almost 18 tons. Mindy Pro led the sewing project where we were sewing curtains and costumes. I think they hemmed drapes for about 4 or 5 apartments and made numerous costumes for the children. Bill Day was doing the finishing work. He and his team did finishing work in the duplex. The duplex was built on top of the foundation that we laid last year. So that was especially satisfying to see the beautiful home that was on that foundation that we worked so hard to pour last year. His team painted the base trim, doors, door jams, windowsills, primed the bathroom and the wardrobe trim, and installed electrical cover plates. And then we had numerous other projects that Bill Day, Bruce Ramirez, Kendra Lewis, and Matt Hall worked on, including demolishing a tool shed, building a shovel hanger, repairing the ladies' toilet twice, repairing a refrigerator. Yeah, the ladies definitely appreciated that. Repairing a refrigerator, welding steel posts for the corral, fixing electrical outlets in the ceiling fans in the dining hall, miscellaneous electrical consulting work and electrical repairs on five different buildings. We repaired our brand new percolator that didn't work after we bought it. Electric shovel repair. We transported 10 truckloads of hay from the barn to the grinding house. And we finished the work that Greg started last year on destroying one of the fence posts in front of a house. So all I can say about this work that we completed is praise God. Thank you.
Who visit this sanctuary quickly learn that we not only value your word, but we live it daily. Our prayer and hope is to be more Christ-like and to be an example of what the Christian faith is really all about, most certainly a continuing work in progress. Please continue to bless those who serve this church in leadership roles. Grant them your wisdom and understanding in their decision-making. Grant them a unity of purpose and help them to praise your glory above all else. We also pray for our country's leaders. We constantly hear words of criticism, and we ask that you would guide them and give them positive encouragement in guiding our nation. After all, we are one nation under you, our God. Father, as we see calamities around us, let us remember that you are still working out your purposes, that you have not promised we will be free from difficulty, but that you use difficulties to make us more like you. When we undergo times of difficulty and we struggle to pray, help us to remember how your Son taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had the foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Morning, everybody. I don't have anything prepared, so this is just going to be on the slide. I could set up there. Pastor Kim asked us what we brought back. Where did we see God during this past week? So when we're down there, they have this flag ceremony that they start their day with, the children at the school, which is nice to see since we don't really do that in this country anymore. But they honor their country. And prior to that starting, two little guys came up to me and looked me straight in the eye. And actually, I remembered a little bit of my Spanish, which I don't remember now, but I basically asked them how they were, and they said they were fine, and then I asked them what their name was. But to look into those two little guys' eyes, just to come up out of the blue and say, stick their hand out, is what I brought back. It's definitely what I saw. Saw where God was working. I was kind of off by myself this time, which was a little weird. I was in the fab shop prefabbing all the metal posts for the corral. And as Doug listed, some of the other electrical problems that they had. So I kind of wanted to be with the group, but I wasn't. But I did get to go on the rock crew at the end of the trip, which we broke the truck. I had our fearless leader, Greg, with us, right? I'm sorry he's not here with us today, but we loaded that truck up, and I looked over at him, and I said, we have too much rock on the truck. And he was so focused, as you know how Greg is, because this was Thursday, and he said, we will finish these projects. And he was very concerned that we weren't going to get the rock in. And sure enough, we got about what? 50 yards? And that tire came right off the rim. So there we were, sitting with all this rock. And just what transpired after that, because we were a ways from the ranch. Luckily, we had the radios. So eventually, we got it done. I think Nate has a picture of me changing the tire. And wouldn't you know it, it was there were 8 lug nuts and 1 was stripped. Oh, yeah. God puts those things in there to see how you're going to handle them. And we handled it quite well. We actually got it off, got the tire changed. We did unload half the rock onto the other truck. So as God feeds us all, believe it or not, we got all that rock in there and it was enough. So I'm grateful for God for the relationships that I made several new friends. I got a different perspective from other people. So you should be very proud of this group up here.
We had an amazing time at Santa Marta. We got to, as it said, pour cement and sew curtains, collect rocks, you know, create wonderful corral for the animals. We had a fun time interacting with the children during the piñata party and during craft time. And it was just great meeting all our target goals and accomplishing the task that Bill Lawrence gave us. But the greatest lesson that I learned from going was not what we accomplished, but how we accomplished them. Though traveling to Mexico this time was so much smoother than last year, this year I felt our little band was hit with a numerous health and injury issues. I was one of the minority who did not get sick or injured, but I was humbled by the servant attitude of many who were sick or injured and how they persevered to continue to make contributions. There are so many that I just can't name everyone, but we had seniors who finished their tasks they were given, but they would come back and instead of resting would help in the kitchen and keep working even though they weren't scheduled to. We had people who got so severely sick on a couple days they were down, but as soon as they got up again, they were up and bouncing around and making coffee and working so hard. At night, a lot of our ladies were so exhausted, and yet they spent the evening coughing and hacking and not being able to even get a good night's sleep. But the next morning, they got up again and started working again. Our youth also were inspiring. They kept working. A number of them had stomach pains. One girl got hay in her eye and couldn't see, and rocks fell on their feet, and they got bruises, and they got cuts. But they wouldn't give up, and they kept working, and they wouldn't rest. There were even people in our group who were carrying some emotional hurts. And in spite of all that, they still kept working. They still kept having a smile on their faces. I was particularly struck by the incredible faith of 2 ladies in our group in particular. It was remarkable that they were willing to come on this arduous trip in the first place, but how they served was truly inspiring. Peggy Albert, she came and she injured her knee pretty relatively early in the trip so that she could hardly walk. But she still kept going in spite of the pain, and she was one of the helpers in the kitchen. And as you know, when you work in the kitchen, you're on your feet a lot. And she wouldn't give up, and she kept working and helping. And in the meantime, she also had a nursing ability. She was a nurse, retired nurse, and so she would help anytime we had emergencies, and we had several. Margaret, who got really sick. We had Tracy, who got a scorpion sting. We again had Haley, who got Ashley, who got hay in her eyes. So she was functioning in those 2 roles. And yet, you know, every night she would lay down, she'd have so much pain, but she would get up in the morning. Margaret Honda, she came on our trip and she had a cold to begin with, but it wouldn't deter her. But when she was there, it got so bad that there were days she just couldn't get up. And we were always worried that she might have even had pneumonia. But when she felt better, she would get up. And one particular day, she felt good enough, she just stood by the kitchen sink and just kept washing all the dishes until they were done. She made a comment that made me really think. She said, I can't do much this time, but you should see me work when I'm well. I have no doubt that she is an incredible busy bee when she is healthy. Yet, this is the verse that came to my mind, 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Jesus says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." One, I realized that the work I did as an able-bodied, healthy, and uninjured person was spiritually not as inspiring as the work of these ladies I mentioned in their weakened state. I believe it's because when we serve when we are strong, people see us and not necessarily Christ. People say, "Oh, what a good person you are. You're helping all the needy and poor. Good for you." But when we serve when we are weak, they see Christ and not us. Because first they say, "What are you doing? Are you crazy? You should stay at home." And in their astonishment, I think they say, "What kind of God do you love so much that you would work so hard in your condition?" They see his power made perfect in our weakness. The second thing is, even though to the visible eye, the healthy person seems to do more work pound for pound, but if we had spiritual eyes, we would see the mountain of spiritual works the hurting person did, because the well person gave out of his or her abundance, but the hurting person gave all he or she had. Paul goes on to say in Corinthians, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This week I saw that Christ-like strength exhibited in so many places, and I'm so grateful to the wonderful examples that are standing here.
Thank you.
Scripture, Isaiah 50:10-12. "And if you spend yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the old age foundations. And you will be called the repairer of broken walls, restorer of the streets with dwellings."
How's everybody doing? A little long? Okay. So today I was asked to talk about how God ended up in my life. If nobody knows me, I'm Nathan Hobbs, part of the Hobbs family. I've been here since I was born, baptized, probably standing like right over there. So I have been in this church for a really long time. I did not accept Christ into my life until 2009 at a church camp that a lot of students, youth students do. It was 2009 at Hume Lake. That day was there was nothing really too out of the ordinary of that day other than playing paintball with my best friend in the church, getting shot in the trigger finger 3 times. I came home with you could see a perfect donut on my finger. Like, there was a red spot and then a hole, like a plain white spot. So you could see a donut. that's pretty much it for that day. But that night, I was moved by the scripture. And I remember sitting there in the racks or in the pews crying in Joe Silva's arms. It was just, I was confused on what I was supposed to do. And I was crying because I was asking for forgiveness from God, not knowing where I was going and stuff like that. For the next couple of years, so I let him into my life that winter. Next couple of years, I kind of went to youth group, kind of rolled with it. Yeah, I accepted God. Okay, cool. The God thing didn't come back up until last year, this exact same time. I was trying out for my high school baseball team. I had the same option last year, was to go play baseball for them or go Rancho. I had an option. I probably could have made the baseball team if I told them I was not leaving for that week. But I told them, I'm leaving, I don't care. Whatever you want to do, go ahead. So I left. God had the coaches cut me. But in the back, it made me mad, yes. But in the back of my head, I knew that he had a plan for me. So I ended up going to Rancho and seeing God everywhere. Like the kids, like Bruce said, the kids came up to him. The kids were so amazing, all of them. Every morning, me and Jonathan would go running. We'd see the sunrise pretty much every morning. That's just so amazing. You see it here? You think it's amazing? Go down to Rancho in Mexico, see it there. It's so much more amazing. So I saw him there a lot. This year, I went back, saw him even more. Just that last day, Doug Gibbs said, we blew two car batteries. I was in the truck for both of those. As soon as it died, I knew what happened. And then we were coming back on the last day with the blown tire, and we had way too much rock in that bed. But we blew that tire, and I was just like, oh, great. So what's going to happen now? And Mr. Pro was not very happy, so... we kind of were just like, oh, shoot, what are we going to do now? Because we wanted to get this rock in. We wanted to finish. But what came out of that was not driving a truck on fumes. So... no gas. And we were waiting for the guys to come back with gas, but they took way too much time. By the time Matt got out, it was 20 minutes that they had been gone. By the time we got in, it was probably 45, and they still had no gas. So we were all like, okay, we need to go get people off the mountain, because we had people in the way back behind up on the hills that we had to go get, and a load of rocks to finish it, and more people. So we were pretty much like, hit the gas, go as fast as we could. Like, I don't know what God did, but I bet he probably put another gallon in that gas tank for some reason. Like, a gallon showed up in that gas tank. And so God ended up on that pedestal last year. And this Rancho is kind of a renewal for me. I ended up seeing him even more, and I feel great. That place is just so amazing. Like, you hear the stories about some of the kids, what they had gone through. They shouldn't go through that stuff. But what they had gone through was just amazing. And then to see them at the ranch, so happy. Like, they belong there. And they don't care about what happened, but they're all so happy. Like, yeah, they probably miss their parents and their family, but they're all so happy. You can't tell that something's wrong with them. And it's just great. And God just, a renewal. And God's the best. He just put us through those four really big jobs, and we got them done. Thanks.
So this was the second year that I participated in Rancho Santa Marta. Last year, Bill Lawrence, the man who started the ranch, told us the story of how he did it. And it's such a story of faithfulness that they would hear God's calling to go out in the middle of absolutely nowhere in this impoverished area and bring services to people that are traditionally overlooked, especially in that community. They had a mortgage that they had to pay quarterly, and he said that they never had the money the night before their quarterly mortgage payment was due, but they were never late. And I think about that faithfulness, and I think about their willingness to go on and hear it. I mean, they listened to what God asked them to do, and then they had the guts to do it. Sorry, I always cry up here. Thank you, Ruth. I think my pride would get in the way of asking other churches for money, even though it was for God's work, and I would shy away from that calling, but they didn't. And now their daughter Tina and her husband Rod have come down with their four children to take over the ranch because Bill and Kay are aging, and they've passed that faithfulness on to another generation, which I think is huge, and it's a great example for me, and to pay attention to what God's saying to me, and to know that He'll be beside me when there's something too hard to do. It was really a joy for me to see the people on the ranch again. The house moms remembered me. They all came up and hugged me. The kids all remembered me, and like kids in America, they had grown, and you know, it changed and were different, but they were all so full of joy. And I don't know their individual stories, but this year I sort of felt more aware of the real difficulties that these kids have endured. Just saying the stuff children shouldn't have to face. And yet Bill and Kay and the rest of the community there show them such love and compassion, and they have a future which maybe they wouldn't have had. On Tuesday, the house moms made us lunch, which that just honks me off. We should be cooking for them every year, and they make this beautiful meal. They're so generous with all of us. This year they brought it up to we have this big room. It's called the cocina, which is kitchen, and they came up to our room this year. Last year we went into their houses, and we got to play with the kids. It was such a joy to see my daughter giggling with the little girls that she met last year. And I was really sad when they left that day. I wanted more time with them. As a child, I lived in Mexico for 3 years in Guadalajara. It was sort of a different situation. You know, you're considered wealthy when you live down there. My dad was an expatriate with Motorola, and I went to the American school during what the Mexicans call your secundaria program, which is like middle school and my first year of high school. And what I left with was a love for the Mexican people and their culture. And I'm really fortunate to get to go back there and to experience the people in a more intimate way than you would on an everyday, just meeting them in the stores or the streets or somewhere. Everything's slower down there, and it really slowed down more when it rained, that was for sure. The town of San Vicente, which the ranch is in this town, has one stoplight and it has two stop signs. And like, trying to find birthday candles for Blake's cake. We celebrated Blake's birthday. I had to go first from the grocery store. There's one grocery store, the Mercado, to the Nuevo Bazaar, which they sold, I'm not really sure what they sold, like work gloves and plastic bottles. And then to the Ferreteria, which is like the hardware store. They didn't have them. And finally we ended up in the Dulceria, the candy store, and they had magic candles, which you couldn't blow out, which was kind of cool. It was very calming, the lack of traffic and how stores close. Nothing closes here. People close and they go home to their families and their community. And I think that that's a huge blessing. Bill, though, said he feels like it's getting bigger and more crazy. We had to separate our garbage this year, which I must admit was something we Americans failed to do pretty heartily. But he was kind of stressed out that we were getting to be more like the states down there where there were rules being imposed by the government that they didn't have before. So we left them a huge pile of garbage bags where last year we burned it all. That whole trip on the back of the truck thing, yeah, I thought that was going to be fun. It was like terror. And I was the adult who sat at the back like, I could do this on my one day of out there working with the rocks. You know, in America, we would have gotten like 14 tickets for that, but it was just fun. It was really a lot of fun. The other thing about my time in Mexico is that I have a pretty decent grasp of the language. I do speak as a child, though. You need different language as a 14-year-old than you need as a 50-year-old, but I got us by. But if I can give you kids any advice, it's to stay in your language classes, because I got special treatment down there. I got to negotiate with the border guards and their M16 rifles. That there was nothing in the trailer but sleeping bags and food, and we pulled that off. That did work out pretty well, and the kids came up to our cocina to do the crafts in the afternoon, and I got to translate for that with Sarah, so I got to see almost all the kids on the ranch. And that was a lot of fun, and I even got to leave that mountain rock project an hour early to get down and translate for the big boys, which was very unfortunate, I'm sure. That was by far and away the hardest job I did. I rode with Kim and Tim back to the border on Wednesday because Tim needed to come back early, and they thought they might need a translator. And we couldn't find the turnaround road. There's a special turnaround for people who are walking across the border. Tim was going to walk across and take a cab to the San Diego airport, and it's called the Linea Sentry, but I don't know what sentry means in Spanish, and it didn't say that's for people by foot. And so we finally get in the line that you drive across, and we're like, this is going to take forever. So I asked the policia standing there, was this the right line? He said, no, you're in the wrong place. I said, well, what do we do? He said, well, you back up. So we're going to go back up in the international border line. We're all looking at each other, and this hot dog vendor comes running up. I do it for you. Tim gets in the back. It was like Bruce Willis in Die Hard. The guy jumps in the car. He backs up really fast. He parts traffic. He goes up and over the raised median. We're all like, we're going to die. We went around really fast. He got us back into the right lane. And then it took us like $60 in bribes or tips, or I'm not sure what it was, to get him to go away. Because he was going to hang around until we gave him more money. It was hilarious. I'm going to tell my grandkids about that. I have to say that Emily Keyspin tried to get out of being a translator, but that girl really has great language skills, and she did a really great job in the classroom with the kids, and it was really a pleasure to meet her. And there was a lot of other new people, and that maybe was where I saw God's presence a lot, was in our West Valley team there. First, Nate, we baptized Nate by fire this week. He led worship every day and never missed doing one of the hard jobs, because he was always doing concrete or rocks or corral posts or something like that. And then he played music in the morning, he played music at lunch, he played music at night and around the bonfire. It was like having a radio station that took requests. He knows everything. And he was so much fun to be around. It was like a fraternity hazing. And Nate, I just want you to know, I think you passed. You are a true pleasure. It was such a blessing to have him here. I had only said hello to Kendra Pro before. I'd never really had an opportunity to meet her. I'm relatively new to this church. And what a hilarious and interesting friend that I've made. She's just a delight. This trip is where people could use their skills. And Kendra repairs appliances and sewing machines, and that was a huge benefit to the ranch. I got to go with her to the very modest home of Avilia, who's one of the moms who takes over a couple nights a week for house moms so they have a rest. And my job was to translate as Kendra diagnosed this noisy refrigerator. And I'm not sure what was more surprising to me, the age of that refrigerator or how sparse the contents were. It was quite empty compared to any American refrigerator. And yet Avilia's happy and healthy, and her daughter's doing well and in a good school. Jean Fujiki, who I think is our Yoda of Christian living, pointed out to me, to all of us last year, that people living on the ranch live with with such simplicity, and there's a great happiness that comes from that. And I think this push for abundance and materiality, or whatever the right word is here in Silicon Valley, it's exhausting. And I seem to have forgotten that after a few months being away from Rancho Santa Marta, but that's back. I think I can live with less and use my resources for God's calling in some other way. Greg Pro was an excellent leader. He did such a great job of organizing with all the project leaders, with Bill Day and Doug Gibbs and Mindy Pro and Art Bashford. You know, every day he negotiated around what needed to be done and where our assets should go and who got along with who and got people out to the right sites, and he did the right thing. And he challenged us at the beginning of the week to choose something we couldn't do. And the truth is, I can cook for 50 people. It's not really that big a deal. I come from a pretty huge family. To me, that's not a big deal. But I had a hard time giving up control in the kitchen. And Gene lovingly and carefully helped me out the door to work on some outdoor projects, which was really great. And there were other women. Like, we wouldn't have eaten breakfast without Bruce Ramirez for the second year in a row. Maggie Day and Gene and Peggy Albert all stepped in and did a lot in the kitchen. And all the sick people who you know, took care of themselves and then got back to it. In our bunkhouse, I think there was Jean and one other woman who didn't have some version of a cold, starting, ending, or in the middle of it. And it was like a symphony every night of snoring, coughing, and giggling. It was like this little old lady sleepover. It was really fun. We had a really great time. And then there were the youth, guys like Max Murphy. He's always willing to work long and hard. And you never have to nag him or remind him what needs to be done. That child is such a blessing. Julie is so eager to learn to cook, and she's a delight to have in the kitchen. We had a new member, Monica Lemon, who was smiling for every job presented to her. You never know, she hadn't been a part of this kids group for a long time. On Friday night, I was really happy to get home to my husband. He's a great guy. I missed him. I missed my bed. I missed hot showers and long ones, and I missed being able to throw my toilet paper down the toilet before. That was just some simple pleasures you don't get down there. But really, those creature comforts and relationships were what I missed. And I'm thinking about my third trip to Rancho Santa Marta next year and what I want to do. And I'm pretty strong for a woman. I think I'm going to work on outdoor projects and let somebody else do the cooking or work with me there. I'm going to work on that control thing I have going. And I'm going to try and keep my eyes open and my heart to what God's calling me to do, and to have faith that I can do it. I hope you'll consider going next year. I think they can only stand up to 60 people because their plumbing system won't take more than that. But sign up quick is what I have to say, because it's a huge blessing to be down there. And if you go down there, you'll come back a better person, I promise you. Through God, all things are possible.
Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with the inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his," and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness.
Hi, guys. Sorry we're running a couple minutes over time, but bear with me. So this was my second trip to Rancho Santa Marta. Last year, we did kind of different projects, and there was kind of a different group of kids. So I went not totally knowing, you know, what to expect. But we got there, and I was warmly greeted by the house moms and the children, and, you know, everyone there was just wonderful. So we started out doing the rock hauling project. It's like, the rock hauling project, that sounds terrifying. And so we got on the back of this truck, and they're like, "Oh yeah, you just hang out in the back of the truck." And I was like, "Oh, okay, you know, where do I strap in? Where's the seatbelts?" They're like, "Seatbelts? Yeah, seatbelts." And they're like, no, like, you just do something. What? So that was scary, but what was even more scary is when we got up there to the mountain, we were lifting these huge rocks, and I struggle a lot with feeling small and weak and powerless, and so I was like, okay, I cannot do this, and I was just even too scared to even try at first, and so I started out picking up, like, these tiny rocks that, like, didn't really make that big of a difference, but then, you know, something in me kind of told me, you know, you can do this, and that was definitely God's work, and so then I started picking up rocks, and they were bigger and bigger, and I really surprised myself with what I was able to do. It was good work, and it reminded me of how strong I was, and even though I came home super sore and kind of bruised up, I was able to do it, and it was really worth it. I think this is really symbolic for other ways that I struggled on the trip. Emotionally, I'm a little strained, but I got through it, and I think I'm a stronger person because of it. And I feel really good about it, and I'm going to heal, and I'm all right. I just really appreciated everything that we did on the trip, and also it was really inspiring seeing all of the kids there. I mean, most of them are like half my age and have gone through as much hardship as I have times 10. Like, I cannot imagine not having parents, because my parents are my rock as well as God, and I just think it was really amazing how faithful they were. And that's, you know, kind of sums up my trip. So, thank you.
I feel the need to vindicate myself as the driver of the flatbed truck that at one point in time, it held my entire youth group, Pastor Kim, and several adult leaders as I was driving up a mountain. I was driving as safe as I possibly could. And I would never, ever do that in the States. As was kind of mentioned, at the end, I was literally driving on fumes. And we had this giant ditch to fill. And I think what we haven't communicated is the first day we worked an entire day, and I don't even think we halfway filled a ditch. And so through like 3 out of our 4 work days, we still hadn't filled that first ditch. It was the first load of our last day that filled that last ditch. So the night before, I had given this talk about how Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves and just performed this major miracle. And I sort of said, nothing's impossible with God, and I believed it. And then I woke up the next morning going, I just told all of these kids that Jesus could do miracles and multiply things and that we could finish this project, and we're still not even done with half of the first ditch, and I have a whole other ditch to fill. And so throughout that day, as we were dropping off rocks and the second ditch was just filling quickly, I was thanking God and just amazed at how good he is and the miracles that he does. And I'm pretty confident those rocks were multiplying in that ditch for me. At the end, when I was legitimately had no gas in that car, I have no idea how that car was moving. I actually had stopped in the mountain. I had gotten one of the ranch hands to go get gas, and he said 20 minutes, and 20 minutes later, I don't even think he had left yet. So I had no gas, but I had to get up the mountain because I had my entire youth group up there, and there was only one working truck with no gas in it. And so to drive up that mountain and just kind of be like, there's no gas here, I'm driving on fumes, God is good, was amazing. And you know what? God is good. I drove on empty up the mountain twice, holding probably a ton of rocks. It was amazing to just see how God meets our needs and is going to help us accomplish the task that he has set out for us. We have a good, faithful God, and I hope that encourages you this morning.
So now it's time for the sermon. No. My summary is, yay, God. And my reflection is, it is 10:45. This is your sermon here today, and I'm just so grateful again for your prayers and your support. God is faithful, and it's just great to be in service. What a blessing. If you would dismiss yourselves and walk out so the congregation can then greet you on the way out. I will close as they leave with a benediction. As you can see on my shirt and the shirts of others, the emblem for Rancho Santa Marta is God's hand holding a child. So why don't you just stand for the benediction, and we will close with gratitude for his care. And I'm going to use a benediction that sort of epitomizes this image right here. It's an Irish blessing. It's, may the road rise before you. May the wind be always at your back. May you be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to serve God with freedom. And may the Lord hold you in the palm of his hand. Go in God's peace and praise him with gratitude. And thank you again for your support. Amen.
Amen.